Excellent. Turn your neighbour and say, I'm glad I came to church today. Who lied? No one, I hope. Anyway, all right. I want to talk this morning from Colossians. We've been looking at this. This is about our seventh week, I think, in the book of Colossians. And today I want to talk about this. Praise is a symptom of gratefulness to God. Praise is a symptom of gratefulness to God. And in Colossians 2, I'm going to read it to you. We're going backwards a little bit. But I thought it would work well with our volunteers of V-Day this morning. So verse 1, Colossians 2, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I want you to know how much I've agonized for you and the church at Laodicea and for many other friends who never known me personally. My goal is that they will be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have full confidence because I have completely understood God's secret plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so that no one will be able to deceive you with persuasive arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I am very happy because you are living as you should and because you are strong in your faith in Christ. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from high so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in truth. You were taught, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. So, in the Message Bible, it says this, just completely just moving along right now. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. And we know from previous experience with this book that Epaphras had taught the Colossians well. Epaphras had taught them. Paul was saying the same thing in this letter and saying to the Colossians that Jesus is over all. Say it with me, Jesus is over all. And so my first point this morning is living his life. Christ's life is the Christian life. Living his life is the Christian life. And when people become Christians, they fix their lives into Christ. So my neighbours and our fence at home, it was a Super 6 Hardy fence, and it blew over in one of the storms this winter. And it was just one of those severe storms, and we live on a bit of a hill, so I wasn't really surprised, and the fence man came. What happens when you need a new, you know, you call the fence man, and he comes around and he drilled these. I've got at our house we have these they're limestone look, but they're concrete blocks right around my property, and he drilled these enormous holes. He had this special tool, and it was almost like a little, you know, little, I don't know, auger thing. And he dug through one whole limestone concrete block, and then he kept going. He says, you can't just do one. You've got to go through the middle of the next one as well. And so he dug, it would have been, it was a big hole anyway. And then what happened was that he put the posts into these big holes, and then, of course, the concrete to fill it all up, and the upright posts, and then filled the deep hole with cement, like I was saying. And the sheets fit into the upright posts snugly. So you've got the upright posts, they're snug now, nice and tight, because they're drilled so deep where the holes were. And then they put the sheets across, and they fit snugly between the posts. It's gone from a hardy fence to a metal fence. And a cap goes on top of the fence to finish it off. It's secure and it's stable. He said, no wind is ever going to blow your fence down. That's what he told me. And I thought, wow. I was like, really? You know how windy it gets here? And he said, it won't blow down. And so far it hasn't. It's been probably about 12 months now. I don't know, maybe not quite as long, but it's secure. And so those upright posts ensure that the fence stays secure regardless of the prevailing conditions. And it's the life of Jesus, not just knowing about Jesus, that keeps us upright. It keeps us secure and strong regardless of the prevailing conditions, regardless of what's going on, and we might have a bad day, but we still know that Christ is there and we're going to get through. And when we're living his life, not just believing or arguing about his life, he caps it off beautifully through the amazing and incredible things he does through living his life. I know there's people in our church, you know, that are just so blessed that they come to church, don't expect to get healed, but God blesses them, caps off what is already a great life. Some of you this morning, you'd have great things. I think we have sometimes our music is just, God just caps it off, doesn't he, in worship sometimes. And I think when we actually have Christ as part of who we are, the more we live his life, the less we have to complain about. And your living will spill over into thanksgiving through doing the works of faith. And so that's why we want to celebrate our volunteers. And I guess that's why in the house of God, it's because it's through doing acts of faith, it's through serving God that we actually brings out the best in who we are. And it's living his life that keeps us secure, it keeps us stable, it keeps us upright, and pleasantly surprised by his grace operating through ourselves and through others. You know, it was a number of weeks back now that we took up an offering for Ebola for our C3 churches in Liberia. And some of us had been putting our faith into action, talking with others and using our talents the best we could. David Langlands did a magnificent job of our C3 Overcoming Ebola Facebook page, which we're still, to this day, getting funds in from all around the world. It's incredible. And I did my part by what I could do, is talking through to pastors and emailing and Instagramming and getting the word out. And by whatever means possible, we got the message out. Others of us here in this church were praying. They didn't know what else to do, but we could come and we could pray. We can, wherever we are, we can be praying for the situation. And others, some of our Africans, and Andrea and my daughter Sarah and Eunice, they marched for Ebola in the middle of the city. I've actually got a paper article upstairs on it. And others talked to politicians. Andrea's done a great job in the area that she feels comfortable in. And all of us, to some degree, I'm sure, have given to aid this situation. And I am thankful. I am in gratitude to the Lord Jesus that other Christians came to my help. We raised over, so far, I think it's about $42,000 or $43,000. We've got an accountant who is in our office and doesn't come to our church. She goes, Nigel, money's still coming in. She's not a very excitable person normally, but she was excited about this. It was like, this is amazing. I'm going, wow. You know, the hand of God's on it. We're so much to be grateful for, haven't we? And I was deeply encouraged through their generosity, through our outstanding love for people. And some of you have never met these people, but you're still willing. And I think we've got a lot to be grateful for of what church is in itself. And it was a good day for us at C3 Fremantle. And the life of Jesus in others capped off what was a good day and made it a magnificent day. And praise is a symptom of gratefulness to God when you are living in Christ. Living in Christ is not the talk, it is the walk. Walking in him will make your faith grow, not talking about him. And the best way to have praise on your lips is to be walking with him. You know, you can't walk too long with Christ before you have story after story. If you ever want a story, all you've got to do is talk to Pastor Charlie. Because, like, it just rolled off his lips this morning. Yeah, this guy came in this week and he'd had a motorbike accident. And it just rolls off the tongue. Because we've got Christ inside of us. There's got to be some good news attached to who we are. And we're grateful for who we are and what we can do in others through what Christ is inside of us. And some of us need to get a bit more bolder in that respect. We don't recognize the authority that Christ has put in our hearts. I'm going to talk about that next week. Sin, this is the second point, sin is a symptom of a person's ungratefulness to God. Sin is a symptom of a person's ungratefulness to God. In Colossians 2:8 it says this, "Don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world and not from Christ." Being ungrateful is something we will need to fight against all of our lives. Who finds that sometimes you've got to work on actually having a spirit of gratitude? Am I the only one? You know, it's actually quite difficult to always be nice. Am I right? It's that you've got to work on it at times. It's not always easy. And we're going to muck up on this. And I think that's why we talked about this last week. That's why we need Christ, because he helps. He helps work through situations. And so being ungrateful is something we need to fight against in our lives. It's going to raise its ugly head. And it all started, of course, "That's not fair, Mummy. How come he got that when I did this? Why didn't I get a cupcake this morning?" Well, if you didn't, you're welcome to one. There's so many things we can get ungrateful about in our lives. And the moment you compare your life, be sure sin has crept in the door. The Bible says, be happy for others. Turn to your neighbor and say, be happy for others. Be happy with what you have. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Be happy with what you have. If you don't have the iPhone, what is it now, 5, 6? It's okay. The world is not going to fall apart. If you don't have the latest iPad, it's all right. Be happy with what you've already got. You know, pyramid schemes often end disastrously because ultimately people want more. And they are based on want rather than on contentment and what we have been given. Be content, Paul says, doesn't he? Adam and Eve, so it all happened back then. We'll blame it on them. Adam and Eve shows their ingratitude. And at that point in their lives, they actually did have everything. Adam and Eve had everything. I mean, they could walk around naked and it didn't bother them. How cool would that be today? No, don't do it. But the point is, they didn't even realize. What a day. Oh my goodness. Oh. The world's changed. Adam and Eve, they've got a lot to answer for. We would have been the same. See, they could stroke lions. They could swim with the sharks. There's no need to have drum lines or nets. They could pick up snakes. They could walk with bare feet because there wasn't any prickles in any garden or any grass anywhere. They could drink the cleanest water and not have to worry wherever they lived in the world. And their purity, like I said, allowed them to be naked. But they wanted more than what God had given them. More than what good God had told them that they could have. We've got to fight for the life that we have in Christ and God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. No matter what happens, let me say that part again. No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. And what was really going on in Adam and Eve was that the devil was whispering thoughts of ingratitude in their already blessed life. You're blessed. I'm blessed. Thank you, Lord, for what I do have. Can we say that together? Thank you, Lord, for what I have got. Sometimes Lord, that's a great way to start every prayer. Thank you, Lord, for what you have given me today. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not starving to death. Thank you, Lord. There's a million ways we can start to pray and just in gratitude to God for what we have got. Colossians 2:4, I'm telling you this so that no one will be able to deceive you with persuasive arguments. All the wisdom you need for your life, all the knowledge required, is found through living the life of Christ. Ungratefulness will cause dissension. Not a nice thing. There was this guy, Korah. And he was a man who attended the duties of the temple in Moses' time. And he was a Levite. He had a pretty good job. It was an honored job, looking after everyone that came in with the way they did the temple sacraments back in those days. And Moses, of course, was the leader. God had appointed him as the leader over all of Israel at that time. And he came to Moses one day, and he's saying this kind of thing. It's not fair. Who made you the boss anyway? I don't want to do what you're asking and follow your requirements. And in his disgruntled state, he had already talked with 250 prominent leaders, and he had persuaded them to come alongside. And more often than not, the leaders over the churches are placed there by God for that particular time and people. You know, we've got to be grateful for our leaders. And I know in Australia, you know, we can be ungrateful for so many things, but what a blessed nation we live in. Let's be grateful for what we do have and the leaders that we do have, whether it be politicians or anyone. You know, it's easy to, that's why I was having a bit of fun the other week when I put up Tony Abbott with Obama. But the point is, I'm grateful at least these guys are giving it a go. Whatever we think of them, it's not easy to lead. You know, Phil Pringle has set a vision. He's the president of C3 for around the world. And he set a vision of 1,000 churches by 2020. And I could look at that as a sub-leader and go, that's just too hard. Well, I hope he doesn't expect me to participate. An ungrateful attitude has a capacity to cause dissension. And we are with each other to live out the purpose of the Lord together, in unity, in cohesion, in rather than out of the will of God. How do we do that? Because we're grateful for what we have. We're grateful for one another. And whether or not we reach 1,000 churches is not the issue for me. It's an issue of the heart to do what I can under the direction of the Holy Spirit and under the movement of our churches. I'm grateful that we've been able to plant churches for C3 in Liberia. I'm grateful that it looks like there's going to be another church in Ghana it's actually got nothing to do with me and everything to do with the Liberians. He emailed me this week. This is Pastor Joseph Adey. How is your wife and family? That's how all Africans start a conversation. And I said back, my wife and family are doing very well. I explained that a little bit. And he says, I am grateful for whatever process to become a part of C3. And I'm thinking, wow, how cool is that? I didn't do a thing. All I got to do is oversee it. But God brings the blessing. So we got another place to visit when we go to Africa. Once Ebola's okay again. It's right next door, so it's not hard. Check your heart if you're having constant thoughts against the vision and leadership. Korah didn't want to listen to Moses, nor did the other 250 dissenters. And Numbers 16:11, the one you are really revolting against is the Lord. Wow. You've got to be careful. They got swallowed up in the end. The earth actually opened up and took them. See, being ungrateful is a symptom of unbelief. And when we put our faith, our trust, what Paul is really saying is we put our trust, our all into Christ, it helps our spirit to stay on the right. And so lastly, praise is a symptom of gratefulness to God. Colossians 2:7, let your roots go down deep into him and draw up nourishment from him so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. Who's grateful to be a part of C3 Fremantle this morning? Come on. Let's stir ourselves up. You know, it's like you've got to stir yourself up. Who's grateful for our young people and our not-so-young people leading us in worship week in, week out? Who's grateful for all our kids' church and what they do for the life of our church? It's amazing. You guys are amazing. Richard sitting next to Emma then. What an amazing server he is. He always says yes. That's a good response, isn't it? Isn't it great having young Wesley and Shane doing a great job with young adults and youth? It's awesome. Oh, some of you are just thinking, I'm just grateful for that they've left the house for a few hours. Well, we're grateful for that too, right? And Moses had a song of praise on his lips after the Egyptians were sent into the sea. Oh, that all the others around him were going, oh, Moses, what are you doing? Oh, what have you led us to? We're all going to die here. We should have stayed. We should have stayed. Oh, there was no life for them there, but they, you know, my goodness. And he'd put up with the people turning against him while they're in the wilderness. And they had trouble. Oh, I'm surprised he didn't sin actually a bit more, you know, Moses, considering what he had to put up with. You know, my goodness. I think about it, I think, man, I don't know if I just would have smashed the rock and then God tells him off. I thought that was a bit rotten myself. But anyway, you know, he had a bad day. We all have bad days. And they had trouble putting their faith in the Lord, trouble believing because there's an enemy creeping up on their doorstep. And the enemy is creeping up all the time. What are you doing about the enemy on your doorstep who's there ready to pounce on you? And if you don't have a spirit of gratitude, if you don't have faith in your heart in who Christ is, it's easy to turn. Moses could have said, thanks for making life so difficult for me, God. But his faith welled up on the inside of him and burst out into thanksgiving to the Lord. In Exodus 15:1, they've just seen the Red Sea close over the Egyptians. I will sing to the Lord. He has triumphed gloriously. And those of us that are old enough, we remember that hymn. I won't sing it to you. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives you an attitude that is uncommon to the natural man. You know, gratitude is uncommon to the natural man. Would you be right? Your observation? It comes through our unwavering faith in Christ. Let me finish with the story, and then the musos can come. We'll sing a praise song. Thanks, Brent. You know, when we first started this church, Andrew and I had to work hard with our thought life. Well, I can only speak for myself, I guess, in this respect. But since she's part of me, we're one because we've been married a while now. And particularly with times with those over us. And there was a long period of time when we first started out. We weren't here. This is, you know, this is 18 years ago. There was a long period of time when the church was young that we wondered if the church, or I wondered, if the church that sent us realized that we still existed. And I think in all honesty, it took me a while to stir myself into being grateful for the opportunity of planting this church all those years ago. I could have kept having bad thoughts about what I thought about the church that sent me and about one person who said, go, Nigel, and that some of you know who that is. And one day we just decided to be grateful for what, well, I decided just to be grateful for what we had. Sometimes you just got to make a decision. Because in the end, I just didn't want my heart to actually be infected by this thing when God had called me to do something and I couldn't do it if there was this argument going on, this battle going on. And so I decided I didn't want to be like Korah and end up bitter. You know, John Finkelde and myself have been best friends ever since. But that's only the half of it. And this is why I think gratitude is such an amazing thing. And really, it's up to us, not up to the other person. Because when we went for the loan for this building, we actually we needed $200,000 more. And we weren't sure where we were going to get that fund from. And if we didn't get that money and we'd exhausted all our avenues, we'd raised a lot of money. It was around $760,000 through our great church members at the time and board members. So I went to the board and the board said, let's, you're good friends with John Finkelde. I says, yes, I am. It may not have been that way. Why don't you ask their board? See if they, look, it's an option. Maybe they can loan us some money. And so within a month, they'd had a board meeting and they said, Nigel, you can have that $200,000. And we praise God like we've never praised him before. The vision that we had was honored by the vision and the connection that I had through John Finkelde. And we were able to achieve this great building and our great childcare and our great program for all that we do here. All because of a change of attitude of heart inside. Of who I was. God's amazing. And so, the reason we start our prayer meetings with thanksgiving is to focus on the Lord, not our problems. You've got to stir yourself into action. The reason we have good news stories is to grow our faith and stay rooted in Christ. Positive words from our mouth create an atmosphere that God can use. Some of the first things that come out of your mouth are so important. Praising God every Sunday. What did you say? Once a month? No, every Sunday. Praising God every Sunday. Why? Because otherwise our heart gets infected by the world when God wants us to have his heart. And our faith grows through our thanksgiving. If your heart does not respond to God with gratitude, your mind will be darkened. And that's what happened to Korah and his mates. You surrender yourself to the blinding work of Satan. You have nothing to be happy about. We've all met those kind of people. We don't want to go there. And so, with an attitude of thanksgiving, we can never get bitter. Colossians 4:2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Come on, let's stand to our feet this morning. Father, we love you. If you'd like to, why don't you raise your hands? Father God, we praise you this morning. Father God, we honor you this morning for what you've done in our lives. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. You're an amazing God. Lord, we thank you for what we have. We thank you for the relationships that we have, Lord, in the house of God. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done over a long period of time. We're grateful, Lord. We're grateful. The people of God said, amen. Come on, sing us a praise song. If you have to go, you can go. But let's praise him, not worship, praise.